You're listening to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business. I'm your host, Austin Meek. On the show today, I speak with Bland Cromwell, a local real estate veteran and one of the people responsible for the explosive growth of restaurants along I-35 near Baylor campus. For our segment, What's Happening Here?, a listener requested info about the Stratton Building at 8th and Austin, a beautiful structure that sat long vacant in the heart of downtown. If you've always wondered what's happening here or have another question you'd like answered on the show, connect with us on Facebook or Twitter at our handle Waco Business News, or visit us on our website, wacobusinessnews.com. There's way more happening in Waco than we could possibly cover in half an hour, so be sure to follow us for real-time updates on what's happening in your city. I'm so excited to talk with Bland about the development in Waco, but first, it's the word on the street. Listen up, Fixer Upper fans. We officially have movement on the Elite Cafe. At last weekend's Silobration, Chip and Joanna confirmed that the former Elite would stay as a restaurant and evolve into a space serving breakfast, brunch, and lunch. This is a very welcome smell for Waco foodies because you can never have too many places dishing out fried chicken and waffles. Cafe Cappuccino is the lead horse in the downtown breakfast race, but their popularity makes for a pretty packed Saturday morning. The Olive Branch is another longtime staple, and if you're thirsty for a boozy start to your Sunday funday, Barnett's Pub is the spot. They offer drink specials and a burgeoning brunch program headed by their chef from Texas State Technical College's Culinary Arts program. TSTC itself provides an interesting dining option on Tuesdays and Thursdays, where their students in training put their own spin on global fusion. This week's courses were based on African food, and coming weeks showcase regional cuisine from the Mediterranean, Mexico, and the American South. View the culinary dining schedule on TSTC's website. Now, as a food truck owner, this one is very near and dear to my heart. A new offering called Mad Hasher has popped up at Chowtown, the food truck park at Franklin and University Parks. Mad Hasher serves up breakfast all day and night with a mad twist, staying open late on weekends so you can still get that food fix when you really need the late-night snack. It's the only spot in Waco I know of that's serving up dishes like parsnip and carrot fries, or their green thumb hash, a potato and egg medley that includes sweet peppers, butternut squash, beets, and zucchini purchased from vendors you see every Saturday at the downtown Waco Farmers Market. Now, they're still young and working out scheduling kinks, so be sure to find Mad Hasher on Facebook and Twitter, at Waco Food Truck. You can also often find Mad Hasher parked next to Pokio's on Fridays by the Findery. Tikka Masala, anyone? The long-rumored Indian restaurant is finally coming downtown. Check out our Facebook page for a picture of the recently completed mural inside of Stone Hearth, Waco's first Indian restaurant. It's on Austin Avenue next door to Dichotomy, and they've made tremendous progress in the last few months. There's no estimate on the opening date right now, but as soon as it's available, you know where to find it. If you tuned into the last episode of Downtown Depot with Nancy Grayson of Lula Jane's, you heard me mention the 11th Street Partnership. They're a group of local entrepreneurs headed by developers Shane and Cody Turner, restaurateur Sammy Citrano, and real estate agent Bland Cromwell that's been acquiring parcels along the west side of I-35 near 11th Street. They've recently subdivided and sold some of their land to make way for the Raising Cane's, Panera Bread, and Freddy's that recently opened. We got a ton of positive feedback about the story on Facebook and Twitter, so I asked Bland to be my guest on this week's Downtown Depot to talk a little bit more about it. Bland is a local real estate legend here in Waco, having practiced nearly 40 years and closed close to $1 billion of deals over his career. He's made a name for himself nationally, finishing as Coldwell Banker's number one producer multiple times, and locally with his trademark cowboy chic style and predilection to hop on stage and tickle the ivories with his rock band Hourglass. But before we get to the present, let's jump back to the past, Bland. How'd you get started professionally in Waco? I saw you graduated from Waco High. Did you always know you were going to come back and work in your hometown?
That wasn't the original plan. I actually graduated from Richfield. I grew up in Waco, graduated from Richfield in 73, which is now Waco High, and went to college at Southwestern in Georgetown and had plans to actually come back to the law school that summer. And that law school class, everybody showed up, and I was number one alternate in the class. And the next thing you know, I needed a new career with 2 weeks to go before graduating. So fortunately, 2 years earlier, I had gotten a real estate license working at night. And so at 20, I had a real estate license. So when I graduated from college, I decided to take that career path and joined Jim Stewart and a great guy, and Earl Patrick, and they had a great company and took a chance on a young guy.
And so do you see in people that you work under, or that work under you rather, that same fire, that same sort of mentality as, I'm a young guy, I'm going to come in, I'm going to start at the bottom and keep working up? Like, do you see yourself in employees that you have?
You know, it's a challenging business, very rewarding business, but it's not for everybody. And we've certainly had numbers and numbers of people come through the office that took a shot at it, and it worked really well for some, and for others it just wasn't the right fit. It's just, you have to have this certain makeup. And I have one partner that's been there together with me just a few years less than me, Brad Davis, and we just have a different mix, and it just works. So most of the time, the young folks that have come through aren't really willing to put the time and effort in it or have the specific work ethic that it needs, and they're really looking for a salary job, and that's just the way the path goes. So there's just not a lot to say, okay, everybody comes in here, this is what I want to do, and turns out that they have a great career. I have run into a handful of the people that interned for us when they were at Baylor, and I run into them around the communities in Dallas or Houston or Austin or something. But it's an interesting business to say, how does it fit to our plan? It's difficult to plan and say, and they come in and say, what should I do? And it's just got to work.
Yeah, real estate is one of those interesting industries where it really is you eat what you kill.
Completely.
And some people rise to that occasion. Other people need more of the structure. But if you're a go-getter and you're willing to hustle, it seems like real estate, as it has been for you, can be something that's really successful.
You really have to enjoy it, and you really have to enjoy the people, and you have to know that the eat what you kill is your way of life. I mean, 40-plus years, I've never had a salary job, so you just go out there and work hard. And I've had great opportunities, had some wonderful clients that I've had some over 35 years and I'm still doing business with. And trying to slow down somewhat if you can and work on the specific projects you want to, but you still have these clients and you do whatever they need.
So we're talking with Bland Cromwell here on Downtown Depot on 103.3 FM, KWBU. If you were in the studio, you would see Bland dressed to the nines. He's got on a nice wristwatch. He's got his boots on that are nice and pointy. And how important is personality in real estate? Because it seems like you've got it.
I think your ability to connect with the people to build their trust is very critical. It's funny because I spent 35 years in a coat and tie with cufflinks every day. Felt like that was very critical. I talked that to the younger guys in the office, and then one day I flipped a switch and said, I'm wearing jeans and boots today and long hair, and it doesn't seem to matter with the clients that I represent. They just have a relationship and a trust with you, irrelevant to your look. But I think at some point in time, you have to build that career and build that trust.
Yeah, I mean, you got to have the backing so that you can be the guy who shows up with the handlebar and the long hair riding the Harley.
Yeah.
So what was that mentality shift for you? Was there a certain deal that closed that you said, okay, now's the day I can do it?
I don't think there was necessarily a day, but I do remember an event where I had been at my ranch and I came back to town. And one of my Caterpillar clients was in town unannounced, and I had a meeting with them that afternoon coming straight from the ranch. And it, you know, I looked like I'd been at the ranch, and it didn't matter. We worked on what the project was, and the next day I thought, well, maybe I won't wear a suit. And so I guess for the last 7-8 years I've been wearing jeans and boots and a nice shirt and working just as hard or working harder, and it's never been a problem. I still represent Caterpillar.
So one reason why we have Bland on this show is that if you listen to our episode last week, we talked about the 11th Street Partnership. Bland is one of the members of that partnership. But tell us a little bit the generals of how you get involved with a deal like that. What's a day-to-day life in the life of Bland Cromwell?
Probably the most interesting part of what I do is that every day it's something different. And the last four appointments I had before I came here were all completely unrelated. And when you say you're in the commercial real estate business in a market our size, you have to be able to do everything. If you're in Houston, Austin, Dallas, you might diversify and just do office or just do retail or just do industrial or just do land. In our market, you have to do everything. So this morning I've been on a land project at City Hall, and I've been showing office space. I just got through with a retail project, and I have a conference call in 30 minutes related to new motels. So you got to be able to juggle a lot of balls. You got to be able to multitask, and you got to be able to take that next phone call and be completely ready to talk to them about their project and stop what you were just on. That seems to be a challenging thing for some folks, to be able to completely change tracks in the middle of a phone call.
Yeah, compartmentalizing can be hard. Is that something that you've always been good at, or that's something that you just acquired over the years?
It's always worked pretty good for me to be able to keep a lot of balls in the air, so I've been lucky on that. But it's a stressful projects can be very stressful, and you have to be able to put up with that. And I think I didn't mention that earlier, but that's besides the fact that it's a non-salaried career. You have to be, if you're going to get it going and you're going to be working at the level of the size of projects we're working on, you have to be able to deal with the stress. And that can be tough. But you have your outlets.
So music is one of your outlets?
Yes, music is one of my outlets.
Spending time at the ranch, another
one of your
outlets?
Spending time at the ranch is another one. So you try to say, somehow I could say I'm sane, but I'm probably not sane, but that's done the best it can. Certainly the music, because we're involved with it pretty heavily, and when you're spending time with your music career, you can't be worried about other outside projects or anything that's bothering you.
Who are some of your musical influences?
Oh, gracious. I'm a keyboard player, so I'm a big fan of the old school John Lord heavy driven organ, the Billy Powell from Lynyrd Skynyrd rock and roll piano, that kind of stuff. So I'm crazy about those kind of music people. Unfortunately, both of them recently deceased, but like an awful lot of music, and we play a lot of different styles.
Can folks hear you around town?
They can. We've played right about the first week that the backyard opened and played there. Unfortunately, we had to cancel another one for health reasons, but we played a couple weeks ago at the McGregor Festival, and we'll be playing some other places. Band's called Hourglass. Been around about 25 years.
It's awesome to see that you need, not only do you want, but you need to have those outlets. And you've chosen outlets that really spur on your creativity. I mean, you have to, as a real estate developer, have those creative thoughts when you're looking at ways to put together a deal, because you might get to the negotiating table and something's not workable for you, even though it is for them. And that creativity translates over to your music as well.
I think the biggest mistake a lot of people think about the real estate business is drawing up a contract and getting some under contract's one part of the transaction. Closing the deal is what really separates a lot of the people. And that's one of the things I've been fortunate in, being able to close deals. And I think that's what I'm known as, that you can get the deal closed, whatever that takes, which can be whatever you want to say it is, but you just figure out how to get that done.
Bland the closer Cromwell.
Whatever it is, let's just get there.
So talk to us a little bit more about this 11th Street partnership. Okay. How did you first get involved? Was it the Turners approaching you and then Sammy came in, or did you go to them with the deal?
I was totally their broker on the deal. I'm not a partner in the transaction. They came to me. They had acquired several pieces of property and had a potential user, and it didn't work out. And they came to me, and we continued to block up the tracks, and we worked on a project with Walmart for a few years to try to put everything from 8th to 11th together for a superstore. Ran into one or two individuals that were not willing to convey their property at the time, and our project just kind of stalled to the point that, deals can get deal fatigue, and that one got deal fatigue, and it was time to move on, and we split it up into various parcels and finished 8th and 9th, which is where Freddy's and Raising Cane's is, And now we're finishing between 10th and 11th with a retail strip up front and two motels in the back.
And one of those would be a La Quinta del Sol.
One of those is La Quinta del Sol. The other project that we're working with is called Aloft, and it was a Starwood project. 10 days ago, Marriott bought Starwood, so it'll be a very nice Marriott once it gets its approvals, which we're working with through the city right now, and hope to get that project closed in the next 60 days.
So you were talking about how initially there had been plans for bringing a Walmart there, and you tied up the land in order to do that. How do you balance wanting something that turns a dollar versus wanting something that, quote unquote, is good for the area or good for the city?
Well, I think you have to want to desire to have the city grow if you're going to be successful in this business. And there's an awful lot of projects you work on just to help or advise. They're just part of the consulting that you try to help just as a community person that lives here. When I was working early in my career bringing in Allergan and Coca-Cola and those type of projects, sure, they're big projects and they're fun to work on, but it's also a lot of pride in what your community has when you're finished. And if you're going to be successful, you got to take pride in the community. So growing up here and not just being somebody that just recently moved, I can drive around every day and look around and feel the pride of what we've done to move the city forward. And a lot of teamwork. And one of the successes we have right now is great leadership at the city. And we have a team effort between the city and the county and the college that probably we've never had. So I think that synergy is all pulling the wagon together. And at times it was kind of fractured. So that's very important.
To what do you attribute that synergy that we have now?
I think there's been a lot of growth. Certainly the school has seen a lot of pop, and everybody really now knows who Baylor is and where they are. You take that just with the fact that Interstate's popular again and just going crazy. So you've got this growth, and you kind of have this perfect storm. What you don't need at that point in time is conflicted leadership that can't help. And so I think it's just a natural. And at that time, we got great individual leaders to lead the cities and the counties business. And so when you put all that together, this is just big effort to try to do whatever we need to do to land a big prospect or to get a project approved instead of having anybody infighting or anything like the past.
You said that you've been working in close conjunction with the city. Kyle Deaver recently took over the mayorship in May. Have you noticed any differences in the mayoral style of Kyle versus Malcolm Duncan or his predecessors?
You know, it's a really difficult job because people don't understand how much time it really takes if you want to do it right. We've had mayors in the past that were elected, went to the meetings, did their job at the meeting, and then really never dealt with the seat during the day and others than the night the council was meeting. Malcolm would be a really tough act to follow. He was an absolutely great mayor. He cared about that position and worked really hard. Kyle is really intelligent, and he is probably watching to see how he wants to lead the city from that seat. Maybe a little quieter, maybe, than Malcolm, but I think he's got tough shoes to fill following Malcolm. But he'll do a great job, and no, I haven't really seen anything other than continued growth. Everything's going, and they're just two different personalities. But Kyle's intelligent fella, and he knows what to say, when to say it.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's similar in the real estate as well, in that you can have people with different personalities who get to the end zone by different routes.
That's right.
And
there's not a right or wrong way. I tried early in the career to be somewhat of a manager, and we hired one time, I think I had 14 folks in the office that we were in charge of, and that's just not my, that's not my strength, and I have a way to get there. And it may be totally different, but it's real hard to try to teach or preach that style. So I failed at management and just said, let's just, get it done.
Well, how beautiful that you recognized that that wasn't a strength of yours, and you were willing to address that and focus on something that you could really do well.
Well, it's hard to describe how you think. So why did you go do this? Why did you go do this to solve this problem? Because that's really all we are as professional problem solvers. But to go explain to somebody why you made that decision, I don't know. It just, that's hard to teach. So the other successful folks in town do it their way. I do it mine.
Have you been involved at all in this riverfront development that's been proposed?
Just conversations, and I know who the people are. But no, I haven't been involved with anything. Worked a little bit on the first group that was involved, trying to help them with a little bit. It's just it's a very challenging project.
What are the primary challenges of the riverfront?
I think people don't really understand the cost to develop some of these tracks. People come to me all the time, hey, we need an XYZ big motel, or we need more hospitality. And I agree that we do, but you can't just say, here's the project. The land's got to sell, and they've got to be able to build the rooms, so many keys or doors, as they call it, and have a good quality return on that money. So the challenge is the cost to physically develop some of the land down there, just with the infrastructure, is challenging because of the price. And it's not as if everybody doesn't want it to happen, but it's just price conscious.
You're listening to Bland Cromwell here on Downtown Depot. Bland is a Waco real estate legend, been doing it for years, and now is involved with the development over on the west side of 35 there along 11th Street. Bland, what is, when you look back on your career here in Waco, what are some of the projects you've been involved in that you're most proud of?
Well, in 1987, Texas was not in great shape, and Waco wasn't in great shape. The real estate market was in horrible shape, and we were able to successfully recruit Allergan to build their first pharmaceutical move out of California. And that's continued to grow and is a great company, and we worked really hard to get them here. That certainly has to be one of the most exciting things, because it came at a time when Waco needed some jobs, and we needed to make a deal or two at the time, and I learned an awful lot from that, and I'm still really close friends with the two guys that I work with on that project. I was with them last week on vacation 30-something years later. So, you know, you just kind of work on that. That's definitely one of the most proud. I mean, I've been involved with Coca-Cola sale. I've done a lot of business with Caterpillar, as I mentioned earlier, quality company. Really proud to be involved with them. But, you know, there's just as you drive around, it's just kind of fun to see some progress. But I'd probably have to say, just because of the timing and the nature of the pharmaceutical move, the Allergan project was pretty neat. The conversion of the General Tire facility took a long time. It's been a long project, but has been good. So it's hard to pick one, but I'd probably say Allergan.
You've been doing this for nearly 40 years here in Waco, and you've learned a lot along the way, I'm sure. You recognize that you can learn things every single day, and today you learned something new about yourself, and yesterday hopefully you did. What are some things that recently you've just found out about yourself?
Well, maybe that I can still work hard. I'm almost 62. I can still work hard if necessary on an all-day tour that I didn't think I could. So I think, you know, it's in there if you want to go dig it out and still go get it. But I know that I'm also enjoying travel a little bit more, and the things like music and hunting that are a break, you realize at the time, now you realize a little more how important they are to you. But if you don't learn something in business every day, every time you're with a client, then you're not telling the truth. Because, I mean, sure, I've been lucky enough to gather a lot of knowledge, but I learn something every day.
That's beautiful. Well, Bland, I love that attitude. That attitude is what's going to continue to grow Waco. And having that humility and knowing that you can continue to learn is what's really going to breed the next generation of leaders, people who hear you and see that model of leadership, and they learn from you, and then they want to adapt that. So, so grateful to have you here in Waco. So grateful to have you here on Downtown Depot. Do you have any closing words, any other thoughts you'd like to share with us?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to come visit with you and tell how good our community is, and look forward to the next time we visit.
There's just nothing quite like experience, folks. Bland has been through the highs and lows of being an entrepreneur in Waco. And although the economic climate is markedly different than when Bland started in 77, his tips for success are timeless. You've got to be willing to put in the work. You know, I had a developer tell me that his business mantra is simple. Answer the phone and smile. Obviously, there's a lot more that goes into it, but the point is that being a successful business person is not rocket science. It's hard work, but that doesn't mean it has to be hard. And speaking of hard work, it takes a lot of hands to drag a 94-year-old building into the 21st century, but that's exactly what downtown developer Peter Ellis is doing. A listener asked about the Stratton building for our segment, What's Happening Here? So I caught up with Ellis, the building owner, for an update on the progress and a little dive into its history. The Stratton building at 8th and Austin was opened in 1923 as a furniture store. The tall ceilings and huge bay windows made for an ideal showroom, and that's something Ellis wants to see again. The Art Center of Waco, currently housed at McLennan Community College, had previously hosted exhibits at the Stratton, and Ellis wants to bring them back downtown.
Well, working hand-in-hand with the Art Center of Waco, in conversation with their board, and the director of their board is excited and eager to be back in there. They were there years ago and had to leave due to, you know, code requirements and other things, and now they're hosted at MCC, but look forward to expanding back downtown with them and bringing them back online there at the Stratton.
Ellis acquired the property when his proposal for turning the vacant building into a mixed-use art space was selected by the Business Resource Center and Waco Downtown Development Corporation. Even though it's been nearly 3 years since he first presented his plan, Ellis's goal of creating an arts hub downtown has remained.
It is substantially the same, and so we do want to work with local arts groups and have an interest in making it very public, very open to kind of all walks of life, everyone from the young to old and any background, a place that is very, very conducive for that.
A three-story atrium that includes the basement will offer commercial gallery space, and the mezzanine will have additional room for artwork as well as a cafe overlooking 8th Street and the Hippodrome. Lofts for lease will occupy the upper levels. Ellis was thrilled to know that listeners of Downtown Depot were interested in the Stratton, and he can't wait to move forward with construction now that they've received their accreditation as a National Historic Property.
And thank you for whomever asked, from the public. It's not a forgotten, building by any means, and we're eager and excited to bring it to light.
Visit our website, wacobusinessnews.com, as well as our pages on Facebook and Twitter for pictures of the Stratton building and all the other content we couldn't fit into today's show. If you have tips or topics you'd like discussed on the show, you can even email me, austin@wacobusinessnews.com. Until next week, I'm your host, Austin Meek. And thanks again for tuning in to Downtown Depot, where we track the ins and outs of Waco business.